Hello, welcome back to another night of Shear. I cannot replace the Maggid Shear Rabbi Toker, but I'll be giving Shear in his stead. We are learning Leland Ishmael Chaim Baruch Ben Zalel, Perel Bas Pinchas, Miriam Leva Bas Aharon, and then Shammai and Aliyah. Of course, we're learning for Klal Yisrael and especially Eretz Yisrael in this trying time, which maybe we're going to talk a little bit about. So tonight, what I figure I'm going to do something that I actually promised a long time ago I was going to do this, and so we're going to do it. We're going to be continuing with Megillas Esther. I say continuing because some might recall a while back we did parts of Esther and people liked it, but because of different logistical things, I couldn't finish it, and so we're going to continue. I will give a brief recap as to, thank you, Mitchell, for showing that. I'll give a brief recap as to what Esther is about, and I try to clear a lot of misconceptions, which we talked about a while back. And so we'll give a little overview and then get right into it, sort of a recap and continue forward. So Megillas Esther is, of course, very much part of our Tanakh. Mordechai and Esther together wrote Megillas Esther. The story takes place in, this is very much part of our history, very much part of our Jewish history. The story takes place in Persia. Persia is today Iran. So if anybody ever asks, where does the Purim take place? It takes place in Persia, which is Iran. If anybody's, of course, we talk about Shushan, the capital. It's the capital of Persia. Okay, so let's give a little recap. The Jews at this point are in Golos. After the first Beis HaMikdash, they're between the first and second Beis HaMikdash, and they're in Golos. Yirmiyahu said that there was going to be 70 years of exile, and then the Jews would go and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Nobody knew from what point was the exile supposed to take place. Nobody knew. Literally, not even Daniel, who was, one of the great Gedolim at that time, knew. The Gemara says even he made a mistake. And let me point out as well, we're doing the Gemara, and of course, if you've heard other interpretations or other variations, it may come from Esther Rabbah or various commentaries. So nobody, including Daniel, knew. What people didn't realize was Yechaniah was the king in the first Beis HaMikdash, and when he was exiled, I think that's when the Nevuah started. People thought that it started from the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, but it started at a different time. So people made a mistake. Daniel made a mistake. Haman made a mistake. Nobody knew. We'll go through some people. So, of course, the king in Megillas Esther is Ahasuerus. The Gemara says that different opinions who he was. Maybe he was wicked. Maybe he was bad. Maybe he was not a tzaddik. Most say that he was not tzaddik. There was no opinion in the Gemara, at least in the Gemara, could be other places there are, that says he was a tzaddik. He became king because he married Vashti. What's so special about Vashti? Vashti is the great-granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is the one who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. Vashti's father is Belshazzar. So Vashti is the great-granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, and she marries Ahasuerus. She has an advisor, and his name is, of course, Haman. Haman is Haman HaRasha, a very humongous Rasha, who is the descendant of Agag and from the nation of Amalek. A couple hundred years before, Shaul was supposed to kill Agag and didn't, and from Agag eventually comes Haman. Haman, this is why we read Parshas Zachar before Purim. So, of course, we have Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai is on the Sanhedrin. Esther and of course, Megillas Esther, named after Esther. Esther is related to him somehow. She is either a cousin. Okay, the Megillah says cousin. Some people think niece. That's not really a Jewish thing. The Megillah says cousin. And I don't know if we got into it last time. The Gemara says, various midrashim, that Mordechai and Esther were married. Mordechai and Esther were married. I don't think we talked about Esther too much, but of course, Esther is very prominent. She's related to Mordechai. That's her special quality. And Mordechai is from the tribe of Binyamin, and he's on the Sanhedrin. Ahasuerus throws a party. So I know a lot of people think that It was because of the party. Well, the Jews went to the party, and that's why the whole Megillah happened. The Gemara says it's actually not true. Although there is one opinion in the Gemara that says that it was because of the party, the Gemara says it was actually because the Jews served Avodah Zarah in the times of Nebuchadnezzar. And since they did Avodah Zarah, Hashem scared the Jews into doing teshuva. So we're going to continue, and I had listened previously, recently, as to some of the shirim, so I know where we're holding. And of course, I'll read, translate, and I'll try to explain a little bit of what's going on, and you could follow along. But Yomar Memuchan, and Memuchan said, "Tana Memuchan ze Haman, a brisatwa Memuchan is Haman. The law of Nikra Shemo Memuchan. Why is he called Memuchan? Shemuchan because he was destined for punishment to be hanged." So a person's name has a certain effect. Memuchan is Haman, and because he was going to be hanged, that's why he was called Memuchan. Amar Rav Kahana, Mikan Shehejo Kol Nifurosh. Rav Kahana said, from here we see that a boar leaps to the front. Somebody was on a flying leaps to the front. He was anxious to talk to the king, and even though he had no manners, he was just jump ahead. So of course, this goes in line with rabbinic thought, which in general, Rishayim are interpreted to be negative and Tzaddikim are interpreted to be positive. And of course, it's obviously a very bad midah to just jump ahead and interrupt somebody. That every man should rule in his own house. So this is the letter that Achashverosh sends out to the entire people. Amar Rava. El Moe Were not for the first letters containing this proclamation, there would not remain a remnant or survivor from the enemies of Israel. Omri, my high Shadrilan, for passing the first letter, the people said, "What kind of command is this that he sends us that every man should rule in his own house?" Shita, Ahilu, it's already obvious, even a lowly weaver should be the authority of his own house. That is that even for somebody who doesn't have much status, even that person has authority in their house. And this may seem a little bit repulsed by, let's say, Westerners, but this was a very common and very Jewish idea. That is that a man generally is supposed to be sort of the leader in their house. There's a ton of Debailio that says, Ishak Shera Oser Rison Bala, that a Jewish lady does the will of her husband. And it seemed in those times that for Persia, it was a given that the man was the head. And there's such a concept in Judaism as Ezer Kenegdo, a woman is created to be the helpmate of a person. And so the Gemara is saying that because when people saw the letter that the guy should be the head of the house, they thought Achashverosh was basically crazy. When they thought that Achashverosh was basically crazy, they had no regard for anything that went out after that. So it was such a strong, prominent idea that a guy should be the head of his household that that's actually what saved Jewish people, which highlights another point I want to make is that people don't realize that some people might think that the Megillah is sort of about Haman and Mordechai, and it's really a lot more. It's really about the Jewish people being saved. The Jewish people were saved, and that's really the story of the Megillah because that was really the fear that was going on. We'll do a little bit more. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces. Amar Rebbe, my tziv call Arum Yaseh Vidas Uksil Yifrosh Iveles. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool spreads out his folly. What does it mean that every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool spreads out his folly? Kol Orom Yaseh V'Da'as Zeh David. Every prudent man acts with knowledge. This applies to David. Dixiv Vayomru Lo Avada. As is written, David's servant said to him, "Let him seek for my master, the king, a young maiden to attend to him." Whoever had a daughter was brought to him, brought her to him. So that is that in the times of David HaMelech, everybody wanted to be David's wife.
Stealing throws Kinellas is Akash Viros. But on a fool spreads out his folly, this is Akash Viros. Take a sieve, we have to get it out. As it is written, and let the king appoint officers to gather all the maidens of the kingdom. Call not the half of the Drata, it's
whoever had a daughter was hidden from him. So, by David HaMelech, every lady wanted to be David's wife. By Achashverosh, it was just the opposite. Achashverosh had to pursue various girls, and nobody wanted to be his wife. So, it's the Gemara continues to try to highlight the differences between Achashverosh and other people. We will stop here, and Bezrat Hashem, in the future, we will continue with the Megillah. I'll just make a brief comment. What's going on in Eretz Yisrael, I think it really plays out from the Megillah. That is that people don't realize that by the Megillah, it takes place in Persia, which is Iran. And we're not going to get political, but what's going on in Eretz Yisrael has very much connected to Iran. So there's such a concept of Maisa Avos Simul Habanim, that whatever happens to the ancestors is a sign for the descendants. We don't know what will happen, but we hope that just like by Megillas Esther, the Jews davened and they learned and they did teshuva and they were saved. So we hope for Eretz Yisrael that we daven, we learn, and myself is in Labanim, it should be a merit. Everybody, brachas, luck in the learning. Live Torah, love Torah, learn Torah, have a wonderful night. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.